I'm going to read a passage from the book of John, which we've had readings almost every week from the book of John. So this was already read to you. But this happened just a few days, we're coming up to the Passover, a few days before Jesus was crucified and before the Passover at that time in that year that he lived. And I want to read it because I think some of us missed a little bit of what this is. And I want to read it and I hopefully expound it. So turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 11. It's the 11th chapter of John. And we see here in verse 1, now a certain man was sick. And it tells you who he was. I'm reading, by the way, from the New American Standard translation of the Bible. A translation, New American Standard. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Now, the word Bethany, the word Beth, like Beth-El means house of God, Beth, and El is God, Beth-El, the house of God, the place of God, the house of God. Bethany was it depends on how you translate that with Aramaic. It could be house of the dates, or it could also be the house of the poor people, house of the people that don't have much, Bethany. But Bethany is where the village, and it's a very small village, only a couple of miles from Jerusalem. Bethany, where Mary, it's east of Jerusalem, a couple of miles, Mary and her sister Martha. So Lazarus was sick. It's the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was the Mary. Now, in John, he explains, by the way, who was this that anointed Jesus' feet. We've gone through that a little bit, but here it is. It was the Mary. She was the Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment, that alabaster box, and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus, now he's directing you to who these people are. Lazarus was sick. So the sisters, they're concerned about their brother. He's now sick. I know we don't know what he had. We don't know why it was, but evidently it was bad because they were very concerned about the brothers, okay? And they sent word, the sisters sent word to Jesus, okay? Meaning to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. I mean, he's your friend. You love us. I know you love Aunt Lazarus, and he's sick, okay? But when Jesus heard, listen to verse 6. This is verse 4. But when Jesus heard this, he said, now, somebody sent a message. Now, how do you send a message? You didn't have a text message. You had to see somebody. Are you headed up to Galilee? Do you know Jesus? You know, would you take word, send word across somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody that can get there to Jesus saying, our brother Lazarus is sick. So Jesus, when he heard that, he said, this sickness is not to end in death, but for the glory of God, so the Son of God may be glorified by it. Okay, so now we know Jesus already has, he's already been informed. He knows God, he's getting God's will, okay? Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister, Mary, of course, and Lazarus. He loved them. So when he heard that he was sick, he then stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Now, some people will say, some friend, you know, some friend, he hears he's sick. He doesn't head off. If somebody said to you, hey, I'm really sick, you know, your mother's sick or your father's sick or your best friend is sick, what would you do? You'd probably be on the way, but he does not. He stays 2 days longer in the place where he was. So now what did he do during these 2 days? It looks like he was praying, or he was asking God's will, or he was changing. Now, we already know, and you'll see it here in this chapter, the disciples do not want him. He is a marked man. And the authorities, the Jewish authorities in Jerusalem area, the Judeans down in Jerusalem area, not the Galileans, but the Judeans wanted him. He was a marked man. And he's already in trouble with them. Now, we don't know that they were at that point trying to kill him, but he was a marked man. So when he heard this, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after these 2 days, he said to his disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." Now, here he is. Meanwhile, what would you be? What would you be? You'd be looking for Jesus. We sent word. When is Jesus coming? Isn't that pretty much characteristic of all of us? When is Jesus coming? Is he going to be here tomorrow? Is he going to be here today? You know, they didn't have anything they didn't have a GPS system on our phones like we do, you know, today. We send somebody, here's my estimated time of arrival is this, and I'll be there about this time. Because the Google Maps or the Waze maps or all the maps that you get from the iPhones or whatever, and other phones, smartphones, they'll tell you when you're going to get there, about what minute you're going to get there. But Mary and Martha didn't have that minute. When is Jesus coming? When is he going to get here? And you know, most of us in our lives, when things were going wrong, we think, you know, the wrong in this world, I've got a lot of troubles in this world, things are going wrong for me. When is Jesus going to come? When is the kingdom of God going to be here so that we can have a different world where God is going to make things right? It's not going to be a world of evil, a world of lust, a world of anger, a world of hate. When are we going to have a good world? When is Jesus coming? So they're looking for Jesus every day. And they think, well, how long? Now, Jesus did not walk slow. When he walked from Galilee to any place in Galilee where he was, he doesn't walk slow like you're looking at shop windows. You know, you ever see people walk along? They'll look here. I said that they slow up and they want to look at this window and that window and this is that. Look over here, and they look in and they just kind of amble. No, Jesus, when he walked, he walked. He must have walked between 3 and 5 miles an hour, I'm sure close to 5, and he just zipping on down to them. So they figure, well, okay, we're getting the word to him. He's in Galilee. He should be here about now. He wasn't there about now. They kept looking for him, He's not. And Lazarus, meantime, is getting sicker and sicker and not well. And the sisters are, you know, truly upset by this. Now, Jesus says to the disciples, well, let's go down to Judea again. We're going to go back there. And what do the disciples say to him in verse 8? The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and are you going to go there again? I mean, they wanted to kill you before, and they want to try to stone you after you said, you know, I am, about Abraham and all that. Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of the world. Who was the light of the world? Are there 12 now? Let's go. You see the light of the world, we're not going to stumble. But if anyone walks at night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. This he said, and after that he said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen. Now, Jesus already knows. He knows. Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep. But I go so that I may awaken him out of sleep. Well, the disciples, typical in the book of John, and certainly in the book of Mark, constantly misunderstand Jesus. They take it literally. Remember when he said, you must be born again? And they're saying, well, how can a man enter into his mother's womb and be born again? How can you do that? You know, they always take it literally. They don't understand the metaphor. They don't understand the analogy. They don't understand that he's not talking literal. So the disciples said, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he'll recover. Man, sleep is a good thing for him to get over his disease. If you sleep well, you're going to be increasing your immune system and all that. It's a good thing, you know. Now, Jesus had spoken of his death. This is now in verse 13. But they thought he was speaking of literal sleep. So here they are waiting. So Jesus then said to them plainly. Now he's got to make it very, Lazarus is dead. Wow, and you waited 2 days? And I'm glad in for your sakes, he says, that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. I'm glad I wasn't there. So you're going to see something. In other words, I'm sure they've seen many healings. I mean, you know, you anoint somebody, you lay your hands on them and all that, and then they recover and all that. But you're going to see something more powerful. This is powerful, okay? Therefore, Thomas, who was called Didymus, that means the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go so that we may die. Well, he's going to go down to Jerusalem. He's in trouble. He's going to go down there. They're going to know about it, and he's probably going to get killed. Let's go down and we'll die with him. So when Jesus came, here he comes, he found that he had already, now, by the time Jesus got there, Lazarus was dead. Lazarus was embalmed or whatever, wrapped with the clothing and so on, with the stuff the way they did it, and spices and everything to keep him from smelling too bad. But, you know, when a body dies, there's so many enzymes and everything. The body starts, I mean, immediately the flesh, this is flesh. This doesn't last forever, brethren. This goes so quick. And when the only reason we look where we are today and we feel, you know, okay, your flesh is okay. It doesn't, it's not rotting. It's not doing anything. Why? Because you have a life force in you. Fighting and the skin out here has protection against bacteria, it has protection against this and that, and we wipe off any kind of stuff, and you know, we don't want a bee stinging us, we don't want wasps around, we want to get things away from poking inside our skin and inside the body. The body's protecting itself against all kinds of things, yes, but when you don't have that protection, when the body's immune systems completely disappear, not just come down, disappear, then bacteria, fungus, all kinds of things inside the body and outside, it just begins to collapse. And now the flesh cannot protect itself. It cannot supply any life. There is no life. I mean, this is gruesome. I know I don't like to talk about it myself, but it's the truth. So our friend Lazarus has died, and Thomas said, let's go with him. We'll die also with Jesus. So when Jesus came, he found that he, meaning Lazarus, had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, he must have died on the way that when they sent the message to Jesus. And then Jesus took 2 days more, and then to walk from the Galilee all the way down to Jerusalem, that took probably another 2 or 3 days. So he had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany, the house of the poor, was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off. That's verse 18, about 2 miles, if you calculate it into English in our American measurements. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary. Well, you know, you have a town, And the next town, you know, a lot of the people here and people that know people, you know, it's not like today. We don't, you know, hardly even know our neighbors. You know, I go to the grocery store, get what I want. They go to the grocery store, get what they want. They go to Ralph's. They go to Market. They go to Walmart. They go to Costco. They go get wherever they want when they want it. They don't ask me for anything. They don't say, hey, can I borrow a cup of sugar? When I was a kid, the neighbor across the street, my mother and her used to borrow each other's flour or sugar. Can I have a cup of flour? Do you have any butter? Can I borrow a little stick of butter, a little piece of butter? You know, well, they didn't run to the grocery store for everything. We were neighbors in our neighborhood where we were neighbors and we knew each other. Well, if some kid got sick on our neighborhood, everybody knew it. And one kid did. And he died, you know. So little Ronnie Bailey, he stepped on a bad nail and he got lockjaw, and he died. Everybody knew it. It was like all over the town. Here they all knew it. So many of the Jews had come to Mary, to Martha and Mary, to console them concerning their brother. Oh, so sad. We're so sad. You know, we're so sad that you lost your brother. He was such a wonderful guy. Martha, therefore, when she heard that Jesus was coming, finally somebody sent ahead, he's coming, went to meet him. He's on his way. She went to meet him, but Mary stayed at the house. So Martha's on her way to meet Jesus on the trip. She knows which way. He's got to come down a certain way. Martha, when she meets him, she then asks Jesus, Lord, if you had been here. Now, other translations, you know, use a more modern expression. Lord, if only you had been here. If only you had been here, my brother would not have died. If only you had been here. How many times have we all said, if only? If only I had bought that piece of property when I had a chance, I would be in really good shape today. If only I hadn't told my son he could ride with this other family in the car, he would be alive today. If only if only I had invested in this, if only I hadn't taken that last drink, if only I had taken better care of myself, if only I hadn't gone here, if only I hadn't taken this, if only my mother would have done this, if only. How many if onlys do we have? We all have. We have if onlys completely about everything. If only. If only you had been here. My brother would not have died. So she's, in a way, a slight rebuke to Jesus, a slight, you know. I mean, what took you so long? She didn't ask the question. And she could have said, what took you so long? I mean, where in the world didn't you get our message? We sent somebody up that way. Jesus stayed an extra 2 days, right? If only you had been here. How many times? If only God would have saved the fail. If only Jesus had returned in the years we thought. If only God's power and spiritual. If only God would do miracles like he did back then. If only we could have all this stuff. If only. If only you had been here, my brother would not have died. Even now, I know whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Now, she is now expressing one of the great messages of faith. Even now, her brother's dead. Even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Now, if you said that to a Pharisaical Jew, or to an Essene Jew, the ones that are out by the Dead Sea, they all believed in the resurrection at the last day. They all did. They read Daniel, you know, you read the Daniel and the time's coming, and you read some of these other passages and in various prophets, you'll see that there's going to be a resurrection of the dead. They all believed in that, except for the Sadducees. The Sadducees, that they were only concerned with the temple and what was going to happen in the temple. They didn't care about anything else. So they didn't believe in the resurrection. And she says, now he says, you know, your brother will rise again. Now we say that too, don't we? Somebody dies, we say, don't worry, he'll be in the resurrection. We'll see him in the resurrection. We'll all be there. Well, you know, that is comforting. Believe me. I had somebody ask me after Molly died, does your faith that you believe in the resurrection, does that help you deal with the loss of your wife? I said, absolutely. If I thought I would never see her again, never. Now, I won't see her again in this life. I'm convinced that I'll die before I will never see her again in this life. But I hope to see her in the next. And that is so hopeful to me and so wonderful in the resurrection of the dead, in the resurrection. Yeah. And she says now, Martha, after he says, your brother will rise again, Martha said to him, because she's a, you know, a Jew that believed all in the resurrection. Most Jews believed in a final resurrection. She said, I know. This is what she said. And you know, the average person today doesn't even know this. The average person, they think you're gone in a immortal soul somewhere. She said, I know that he will rise again at the resurrection on the last day. She knew. She knew the teaching. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection. Now, where is this resurrection? Where is it? Is it way off? Is it far away? You're looking at Jesus Christ. She's there with Jesus, you know, the Son of God. And she said, He says, well, I am the resurrection. The resurrection is not a time. It's not a place. It's Jesus. It's him. It's Yeshua, the Son of God. It's him. He's the resurrection and the life. The life. You could be resurrected mortally. He did resurrect him. And he's going to resurrect Lazarus here. But Lazarus died again. Lazarus is waiting just like you and me and my beloved wife and some of you who lost your beloved husbands and wives. You also, we are waiting for that resurrection at the last day. We're waiting for it. Sure we are. And so we're all waiting for that. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. There it is. Jesus saying, Molly, and some of your husbands or wives who lost, and your children, and some of you people who lost someone who was a believer in Christ, he will live even if he or she dies. Molly will live. He who believes in me. She who believes in me, the person who believes in me, will live, even if that person dies in this life. You'll live again. And everyone who lives, listen to this, and believes in me will never die. That is, die completely. Now, we know in the book of Hebrews, it says it is appointed to men once to die. When Jesus is talking about, you know, in another metaphorical way, you know, you never die completely. You never die. Do you believe this? He asks her. Do you believe this? Do you believe that I'm the resurrection, the life, that the one who believes in me will never, even if he's died, he will live even if he dies? He's coming back. I'm the resurrection. She said, yes, Lord. I have believed that you are the Christ. Now, she doesn't answer his question, because she's not completely sure, because his question is a little confusing to her, I'm sure. She said, yes, Lord, I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world. You're the one that God sent into the world, the one we look for, the Messiah, the Christ, the anointed one, the great king of the great kingdom. The Christ means the king. He's the king of the kingdom. When she had said this, she went away and called Mary, her sister, saying secretly, the teacher is here and is calling for you. Now, I don't know that we don't see where Jesus was calling for her, but she wanted her sister to go. The teacher, you know, the rabbi, the rabbi is here. You want to go to see him. And when she heard it, she got up quickly and was coming to him. Now, Jesus had not yet come into the village. He's on his way. They met him outside. That little village is so small, it doesn't take many steps to get outside of it. As one man used to say, he lived in a little small town in Texas. It was so small, it was called a poke and plum town. You poke your head out of the window and you're plum out of town. That's one of his statements. Now, Jesus had come, he got up, Jesus had come and not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha met him. So Martha, he didn't come further. Then the Jews who were with her, with Martha, I guess, were with Mary in the house and consoling her, when they saw that Mary had got up quickly and went out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. So, you know, a lot of people go back to the place where the last place they saw the body of their loved one. They go back there. You'll see it all the time. I've been up to the grave several times, many times since 5 years ago. I go up periodically. Yeah, you do that. You want to go to the last place. Now, do I think there's, you know, a spirit there? Is she still living? Does she hear me? No, I do not. I don't believe that. But that's the last place I saw her. Therefore, when Mary came where Jesus was, now she finally got there, the same place where Martha was, she saw him and fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. That's both of them. If only you had been here again, my brother would not have died. Well, if only Jesus had come in 1972, if only Jesus had done this, if only we had done that, if only we were smart enough not to let our health go down the drain, if only we had saved some money in those days, if only. How many things, if only? How many if onlys do? You don't want to live your life with if onlys. So you need to do things today that are proper and good. Don't wait until it's if onlys, please. That's not a good thing for you. You know, we don't want to wait until we come to the place of if onlys. We want to do things now properly. Do the right thing now today. Do the wise thing. So she says, if only, you know, if only you had been here. If only you had been here, my brother would not have died. This is how much confidence they had in his healing power. They knew him. They knew his healing power. He was friends with them, very good friends with them. And now, in a way, it's sort of, if you had just been here, if you had just tulied here faster, he wouldn't be dead. But God had something more in mind here. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and was troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus burst into tears. The next verse, the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. Now, everybody, you know, you can say he wept because they were there. He wept because they didn't understand. They wept because they were suffering, and Jesus is merciful and he's compassionate as well. He saw them not understanding, not getting it. They don't get it. They don't get it that he's there. They think it's too late. They think death is too late. And pretty much we all think that, don't we, in this life? Do you know anybody that's come back from the dead completely in a burial? They buried them. You put them in the ground. You see them later. I've often wished I could see Molly walking down the street. I often wish if I drove up to the house, I would see a car that she had driven and she would be there in the house. I often wish that. How many of us often wish that we somebody we so dearly love and miss, that they would be there, but they're not there. So where have you laid them? And she said, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. So the Jews were saying, see how much he loved him? He loved him. I don't think it was, I mean, look, it doesn't make sense that Jesus is weeping because Lazarus is dead. He's not weeping because of that. He's weeping because of them, because they didn't understand, because they don't know what he's about to do, because they think they've lost him, because they don't necessarily realize, the rest of the Jews, they don't realize he's the resurrection of the dead. They didn't believe it. But some of them said, could not this man, now listen how they're doing, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying also? Couldn't he have kept him alive? How come he's dead? So Jesus, again, being deeply moved, once again, he's deeply moved. Their faith is not good within him, within, came to the tomb. He's now moved. Now it was a cave. Where do they bury people? In a cave, and a stone was lying against them. You bury people in a cave. There are many caves, by the way, in Gedi and around Jerusalem, south of Jerusalem, and the wildernesses area. Caves. That's where the Essenes buried their scriptures, their all the writings. They wrapped it up. They put it in a pottery jar, put them in jars, sealed that, try to keep it away and try to protect their writings, and buried them way down in a cave where it was protected against sunlight and too much air, way down in some of these caves are way down. A little Arab boy found one of those pottery, broke it open, and here were all this scripture. These are writings from the Essenes, what they did, all their beliefs and their doctrine. That's how we know all about the Dead Sea. You have heard of the phrase Dead Sea Scrolls. They're wrapped up. They were put in pottery jars and protected. So a lot of caves, lots of caves. So they just buried them in the cave, rolled a stone against it. That's it. And the stone was up against it. Jesus said, verse 39, remove the stone. And Martha, the sister of the deceased, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be a stench. I mean, the body decays rapidly, and that decay becomes, you know, if you've had a rat or something die in your attic or die in a wall or something, you'll smell it. It'll last for a few days because the rat's body is not very big. But a human body will stink, and it'll stay bad for a long time. He's been dead for 4 days, she said. It'll be a stench. He's been dead 4 days. I mean, it doesn't take long for the human body to disintegrate. And you'll see skeletons. There's nothing left of the flesh. There's nothing. You'll see the bone. The bones stay there a long time. Bones will stay there because they're hard. And, you know, the flesh will just disappear. So it'll be a stench, for he's been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they removed the stone. Then Jesus raised his eyes. Now he's got a crowd. Now this is interesting. This is different. He's got a crowd. You remember when he wanted to one young woman, young girl, 12, I think, and he sent everybody out of the town. Get out, get out, get all you Jews, all you people crying and all that, get out of the house. And then he went and took her. He said, get up, rise, and she rose. He did that privately. Then he would tell people when he resurrected somebody, don't tell anybody. Don't tell people about this. But now, it's only days before he himself would be facing death. Everything here, brethren, is a thing that he is going to be facing. A cave where a dead body is. He's been dead 4 days. How many days was Jesus dead? 3 days. I don't know how they measured the 4 days. They always count one, 3 days and three nights Jesus was going to be dead. How much will his decay? Okay, this is all this. So they removed the stone. Jesus raised his eyes. This is verse 41. And said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But because of the people standing around, now it's a wit, all these people standing around, I said it so that they may believe that you sent me. Now that one of the last great powerful miracles that Jesus is going to do is right here, just a few days. I don't know how many, 3 to 5, you can calculate them, 3 to 5 days before he is caught and sent to trial and crucified. I knew that you hear me so that they may believe you sent me. And when he said these things, he cried out with a loud voice. Now here it is. He's laying it all on the line. There's no turning back here. It's not like you know, when we pray sometime for a sick person, we pray, God, will you heal them? Please heal them, God. Please be merciful. Please do this and so that. This is not that. This is all on the line here. Either he comes out or he doesn't. Lazarus, come out. That's what he's saying. Come out. Come forth, it says in King, this in some translation, but come out. The man who had died came out, bound hand and foot with wrappings, and his face was wrapped around with a cloth. Jesus said to them, unbind him. Let him go. Let him loose out of that. Take those things off of him. Take them off. So what did they do? They took him off. Therefore, many, listen to this. Listen to what happened here. He laid it all on the line. He didn't want to do it. He didn't want people to know. But listen how. This miracle would lead absolutely to the death of Jesus Christ. It would not be a miracle that will lead to people saying, you are such a great man. You're such a wonderful man. God is with you. No, it didn't lead to that. Therefore, many of the Jews who came to Mary saw what he had done and believed. Yes, they did believe. Those Jews, those poor people around Bethany, they said, wow, he says, Lazarus, come out, and the man comes out. But some of them, verse 46. But some of them, this is chapter 11 of John, verse 40, went to the Pharisees, told them the things which Jesus had done. Do you know there's a guy over there in Bethany? His friend died. He yelled, and this guy comes out of this cave. Is this a trick? But a lot of people believing he's the Messiah, he's the Christ. They're believing it now. What do the Pharisees say? Therefore, the chief priests and the Pharisees convened a council and were saying, what are we doing? For this man is performing many miracles. Signs mean a miracle attesting sign, a miracle. If we let him go on like this, all the people will believe in him. And the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation. So, in chapter 12, verses 10 and 11, the chief priests planned to kill him, Jesus. But notice what happened. Poor Lazarus, he just was made alive. But listen to what they did in chapter 12 and verses 10 and 11. John 12, verses 10 and 11. The chief priests planned to put Lazarus to death also, because on account of him, on Lazarus being resurrected, many of the Jews were going away and believing in Jesus. You think a great deed would just bring people and say, oh, this man is what? Politics, money, power. Now we're going to talk about one another of Jesus' prayers next week. Please join me. You'll be very happy you did. Join me as we end today's session with prayer. Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you that you know that your son knew the power that you were giving him, and that 2 days that he delayed was for a powerful miracle. Many Jews believed and became Christians. They have devoted their lives. They will be, many of them, I believe, in the first resurrection, and you gave them that opportunity. Thank you for your many wonderful blessings. Thank you for everything. May we all learn a lesson, if only. May we now let Jesus Christ come into our lives, be a part of him, know him intimately, and thank him for every blessing we have, so that we get every day imbued with vigor and strength through the power of your Holy Spirit. Thank you now. Bless your people. Heal your people. Be with them, Father. Give them courage that if they believe in Jesus, they will never die completely. They will never be gone totally. They will never have their future wiped out. They will always have a future of life, because he is the resurrection and the life. And we bless your holy name through his name as we end today's service. In his holy name, amen.